back. Cedric Tillman joining us now on the hotline. Cedric, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's good? Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. The timing of this is great because you were awesome on Sunday. What did it feel like to have that gigantic breakout game, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns?
It felt good. You know, we just as a team wanted to go out there and execute, and we were able to do that.
Can you describe to us some of the differences between when Deshaun Watson throws passes to when Jameis Winston throws passes? And you can get as technical as you want, but obviously something clicked there on Sunday.
Well, you know, obviously they're two different types of QBs, you know, but whoever we have there as quarterback, you know, we have trust in and stuff like that. You know, we just got to go out there and execute the plays, and I just feel like we were able to do that this past weekend.
Cedric, you said after the game, after those 2 touchdowns, that you need to up your TD celebration game. So, what goes into that? Who on the team are you going to for advice on how, when you score the next touchdown this weekend, I'm calling it right now, that you can make sure it is at that 100-yard, 2-touchdown kind of plateau?
Well, first off, I'm not going to none of my teammates when it comes to celebration dancing. But you know, it was just it was kind of a warm up. You know, I can't have my best celebration the first one. So yeah, we'll get in the lab.
Beating the Ravens, AFC North. You know the history between the Ravens and the Browns. Not just getting the win, but getting a big AFC North win. What did that mean to the team, and how does that rejuvenate you guys heading into the Chargers game?
We feel like it was a good win, but you know, we're not thinking too much of it. We know that we're still behind the 8-ball, and we know we still got a lot of work to do. But it was obviously a key win for a division rival.
So with that, you know, there's, and listen, I'm not trying to bring this up in any specific sort of way, but you guys are 2-6. There's some conversation about how do you get back into this. What do you view the next game, the next 9 games as for yourself personally, knowing that, you know, this is really the first real opportunity to get serious playing time that you've had in your young career?
I'm just taking it week by week. Like I said, we won this past weekend, but it means nothing now. We got to do the same thing again this week. So, you know, just taking it 1 week at a time. Instead of thinking about we have to win this many games, we're just taking it 1 week at a time.
Jameis is a character. He's biting W's. He's always had a big personality. When you talk to your family, your friends, and they say, like, give me the best Jameis Winston story, what do you got?
Man, it's so many stories that you could tell about Jameis, but it's so hard because he's the same guy day in and day out. So it's just like you could tell a story every day. But I think one of the funniest things is when he first got signed to us, and he was already taking snaps from the center, and like his whole little outfit he had on that day. I was laughing pretty hard at that. So you know, Jameis, you know, he's a good teammate.
Browns wide receiver Cedric Tillman on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So for those out there that don't know Cedric's story, he was a 3-star recruit coming out of Vegas, goes to Tennessee. There's a coaching change halfway through there. And then you play yourself into being a 3rd-round pick without the injury your last year there. You might have been a 1st-rounder. And now you just had the best performance of your young professional career. What was the key? Like, how did you manage this going from where you were as a recruit to doing what you did on Sunday?
Man, I just keep working. I know what I can do. But I always keep my head down and work. No matter what.
Cedric, really good stuff, buddy. Really appreciate you. Congrats on Sunday. And again, what you're doing with the stay in the game stuff today, that is awesome stuff, buddy. Love to hear it.
No doubt. Appreciate it. I was able to go to the school, was able to talk to the kids, so I had a good time.
Do you dress up?
I was thinking about maybe dressing up, but I decided to play it cool today.
That's a smart call. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
No doubt. Appreciate you.
Cedric Tillman there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm going to blame that on the solar flare there. But Cedric was earlier today at Stay in the Game, the Attendance Network. If you guys want to learn more about this, it really is one of the cool things the Browns are doing there. For more information, visit clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsGiveBack. Great stuff with Cedric. When we come back, we will talk about his breakout performance and the ceiling for that offense on 92.3 The Fan. Ken and Anthony would have played the sound and made fun of us. 5 days later, this is a safe space, and I think Cedric Tillman might be going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I also think he might have taken the Crash Davis School of Media Training there. Or maybe that's a Stefanski Media Training. I'm not sure. Oh, wait, one game at a time.
I listened to him on the coach's show. He's just a quiet dude.
Is that it?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
It was good athlete speak.
Is that coming up tonight? Well, I definitely...
Might be.
I might have listened to him.
You got a sneak peek?
At some point. I got a sneak preview. All right? Very, very that's, only...
Some people flaunt their power in other ways. You flaunt it by sneaking interviews that will air later on tonight.
Because I know how highly rated the coach's show is, or the preview show, either of those shows.
Whichever show.
Yeah. And so I know that if I say I've listened to this, people have instantly gained 5% more respect for me.
Hell yeah.
Like, this guy's a mover and a shaker in that he shakes when he moves. I think the Elijah thing I'm not sure about, because Elijah has been kind of a up and down player. If you do look at the last six games with Flacco last year, Elijah was really, really productive consistently. But I kind of take that for, let's see. Cedric, I don't. Like, if Cedric Tillman was healthy...
Wait, so you're this far in camp with Cedric, or are you...
I've kind of been on Team Ced for a minute.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Like, Daryl and I had a Donnybrook, I want to say, when he was filling in back in March. Because I was like, why are we filling this room up so much without giving this kid a chance? Because I thought... He shined pretty decently in the chances he got last year. And Daryl's response, which was fair, is, well, I played like a rookie. Yeah, it tends to be what rookies do.
Yeah.
Like, rookies make mistakes, and the only way they stop making those mistakes is if you give them playing time. So not only now do I feel better about the wide receiver room because of what Cedric Tillman did, I also feel better about the decision to move on from Amari that, you know, hey, you got a guy here that can fill that production, and you got a third-round pick for him.
Well, and that's what Stefanski said, though, is the idea that they wanted to get all these guys as many opportunities to basically prove their worth, and that's what they're doing. I think what it means for me right now is that, I mean, clearly they're not receivers that can elevate a quarterback. That's not on the table. They're not the Ja'Marr Chase type where you're like, is it Joe Burrow? Is it Ja'Marr Chase?
Did they not elevate Jameis Winston
Sunday? No, I don't think they did. No. Because they did not elevate Deshaun Watson in any stretch of the measure, and Deshaun Watson stunk, so that it was what it was. No, I think we have to look at this the way that Jameis was able to throw him when they were open, was able to throw him the ball and do it in a timely manner, and they caught it. Like, no drops. I'm happy for him, but I'm not going to... I can't sit here and say that they're all world or anything yet.
I don't know why that would happen. I don't know how to put this, and we're friends.
You hate this take.
Well,
Go ahead.
What I hate about it is I think you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
All right, tell me.
If
why?
Deshaun
tell me why.
Was the problem and the end-all, be-all problem, you could have put Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Steve Largent in his prime around Deshaun, and I don't know you would have been any better.
You see, I don't agree with that. I don't agree. Maybe this is where
Deshaun
was
throwing at his feet or 10 feet over their heads.
No, but there was a lot of drops in there, and there was a lot of times where it just kind of was what it was. I mean, I think if you put enough talent, we see what wide receivers can do for these quarterbacks. Look at Tua, for instance. I mean, Tua went from a nothing burger to having Tyreek Hill and Waddle, and then all of a sudden he's off to the races. Now it feels like anyone can be a quarterback in Minnesota because Justin Jefferson's that good. Ja'Marr Chase with Joe Burrow. Like, we have a million examples of wide receivers that can elevate that play.
Yeah, but I think this is the rare context. I think one of the biggest mistakes we've made is trying to compare Deshaun this year with anything else, because there are no other quarterbacks coming off the first shoulder surgery in history, coming off 3 years of futility, coming off that kind of rust, coming off a new offense that does or doesn't fit him.
Sure.
Like, who, by the way, had no confidence on or off the field. There's nobody that fits that. So it's almost like when you see what you see out of Jameis, I think we should assume these wide receivers are elevating a guy. Like, I don't think we can just... Like, some of this is, like, I know we give Kevin Stefanski all the credit for everything that happens on the field. He's scheming guys open. Some is they're actually good football players.
Yeah, they are open, though.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah,
I mean, no, I think the
that
problem
all
I'm
Kevin
having...
is no. wildly disrespectful the for three problem, guys who are pretty talented.
The problem I'm having in this instance is that I'm trying to make them be a Ja'Marr Chase or a Justin Jefferson type, and the reality is that they're not going to be those guys. But are we okay if they're... You know, if Jerry Jeudy ends up becoming what Amari Cooper was, that's a great success. Like, that's awesome. Can we find an avenue where maybe that's what we need to start making these guys be?
You're talking about like a 22, a 25,
know,
and a 24-year-old.
No, I'm giving them a chance.
Because I think this is like the fifth time you and I have waddled into this area here. I think that's what the next 9 games are about. Like, it's not about Jameis. He's not going to be here next year.
Right.
Like, guys, I'll be honest with you. He could have a Flacco-esque performance. He's not Joe when it counts, which is he's a bit of a wackadoo. Like, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, that's, I think, the perception of Jameis. And at some point, you can only eat so many W's. So unless you go 7-2 and you're in the playoff hunt, or 8-1 and you're in the playoff hunt, unless that happens, it ain't enough W's to go around for everyone to eat. So it ain't about Jameis. It is about evaluating everybody else. And that is the rub of Jameis versus DTR. That's not a conversation today. It will be.
But you so get a fair evaluation, though.
But so much of it is, yeah, let's see. Like, because the more that Cedric plays like he did on Sunday, the more Jerry plays like he did on Sunday and Elijah, and the more consistently they do it, all of a sudden you're sending out a signal that's like, hey, if only we had a quarterback that could go ahead and make these guys even better. Like, I think that's what the next game, 9 games are about, until all of a sudden you magically are in striking distance in the playoffs.
The real rub here is that you take what I believe to be was a pretty not great wide receiver room as recently as a week ago, to now it's like, okay, maybe there is something there.
Is it that you don't want to flip-flop that
something.
Hard?
What's the flip-flop?
Panda Peterlin already flip-flopped hard.
First off, you're loving Panda Peterlin a little too much.
I am. There's a glint in my eye.
Where's the flip-flop there? What's the flip-flop? I told you 3 weeks ago that I didn't think this wide receiver room was anything, and now with Jameis Winston, maybe we get something out of it. And you're still not getting... This isn't Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs, even though Diggs got injured today, and he's going to miss the rest of the season. Like, this isn't Odunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. Like, it's not an all-time great wide receiver room.
Yet.
And it's not going to become one either.
Yet.
I think you're very optimistic. You're the Care Bear now.
I think
talk about Panda Peterlin over here. Like, this is, you're the one that's now like, oh my gosh, we got three Randy Mosses in the building. Like, how did that happen how did that happen with Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore?
Very slippery wizard.
How did that happen?
Very slippery wizard. No.
How did it happen?
One, I disagreed with you a week ago when you said they sucked and they were talentless. And now,
whoa! Talentless is not a term that I use.
How'd you define it? Come on, run it back.
I think I said if we were doing rankings and I was doing my own rankings. Yeah. I think as of last week, I think it would have been on the right. By the way, they would have ranked out about like the 25th best wide receiver core in the entire NFL.
Like 21st now. Where are we at?
Maybe.
Okay, that was
maybe.
Look at you.
A lot of really good wide receiver rooms out there right now.
Putting the credibility on the line.
Now you're going to make them a top five group for some reason because they had one good week with Jameis.
No, slippery wizard.
You just don't want to give Jameis any credit. Now all of a sudden, Cedric Tillman is Randy Moss in his prime. Okay, great.
What did we come up with yesterday?
Congratulations to them.
The slippery sorcerer.
By the way, when you say slippery wizard, all that tells me is I'm doing a good job in this discussion.
Backpedaling?
No, backpedaling. No. Twisting the conversation to where I want it to go.
You should teach Greg Newsom how to backpedal like this, and he actually might be worth a first-round pick in the trade market.
Where's the backpedaling? Tell me the lie. Spot the lie. One good week. By the way, yesterday you went this whole thing about how one good week doesn't change anything for you, but now one good week out of three wide receivers and David Njoku, now all of a sudden we have the greatest wide receiver room in the entire NFL.
I've never said that.
What are we doing?
I simply said I liked them a week ago, and I still like them, and now I'm excited. Listen, we talked about re-energizing. That's what Sunday was about. It wasn't about rewriting the history of the... No, you have multiple weeks to rewrite what this season is or isn't. And you got to prove it multiple times. It's the NFL. You don't get seasons worth of credit in one game unless it's a damn Super Bowl. But what I do think, like, this re-energized me for watching the Browns, and I'm going to be watching those wide receivers a little bit more.
Yeah.
And thinking, do we ever have to add somebody? Do you bring Elijah Moore back? It opens up possibilities for young guys in a way that I think now I can see it more clearly. I thought it was one way a week ago. Now I'm even more in that line of, I think we got three really nice wide receivers and a great tight end.
I think that's the beautiful part about this, Nick, is that we get to actually have ourselves with an open-minded conversation about, like, all right, a week ago, Jerry Jeudy's going to be on the team because you paid him a lot of money. But I was open to discussing everybody else, and now it's like, all right, let's see where they take this. Elijah Moore, it's the final year in your deal. Like, go earn a contract. Go earn a big contract.
216-474-0092 at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. As we get started, given Cedric Tillman's big game, and Elijah Moore's big game, and Jerry Jeudy's big game, and David Njoku's big game, have your feelings on the skill players, your wide receivers and your tight end, have they changed? I'm just feeling a little bit more confident. I'm not thinking they're top 10. I do think maybe we're onto something about the importance of I don't know, throwing to guys that are open. More on that next on 92.3 The Fan. But your friend Nikki Dubs has to tell the truth.
I don't want
to
hear that either. One bad game and we're done?
Yeah, because I think it's more than just football with Jameis. I think it's he might be a trade candidate. I think those whispers about people getting tired of the antics of Jameis already, if, whether that's the organization or the locker room, I think those were real. I think those all of a sudden went away because he threw for 300 yards on Sunday. So, like, that's the time I think he's playing with.
Okay, I disagree with that, but we can do that later.
That being said, I do think trying to figure out the ceiling of this offense with Jameis and these wide receivers, I think is really, really interesting. Because I think that's the rub on how far they can truly go this season.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know who your quarterback next year is, whoever that ends up being, if that is a bridge guy, if that is a quarterback that you draft, you want to know if they're given a chance. And that's kind of what last week was, if we're kind of like hinting towards what you learned in many respects. Like last week, you kind of learned that, okay, it's not all on Elijah Moore. It's not all on Cedric Tillman. Like, there's some talent there. Jerry Jeudy, it might not be the world's greatest wide receiver room, but there's enough talent there that you can make a quarterback look good. Evidenced by Jameis Winston throwing for 330 yards and three touchdowns. Like, you can do it with this wide receiver core.
But I think the question is what we saw on Sunday the ceiling? Because I actually think it was. And that's less about...
I mean, yeah, I don't know how much we get. How are we getting higher than 330 with three touchdowns? And, I mean, he was near perfect was the problem.
I mean, and I don't mean to be dismissive here. How many touchdowns do you really score? Like, that's nice. It's great for us. But, like, most weeks, you're not going to score 29 points with how that looked. Simply because there is going to be a slight step back at some point because the interceptions are going to come. That's just a part of Jameis' game and probably just as much, if not worse, than it was with Joe Flacco.
Right, but if we're talking was last week the ceiling almost, then like yeah, we didn't have the interceptions. But you know what I mean?
I think it was because there were no interceptions.
Yeah, and that's I'm kind of alluding to the point you're getting at least I believe I am. Like, you can make an argument for it. Did they score 40 points? No, they didn't score 40 points. You scored 28, 29, whatever it was at the end of it. Leading the league in the NFL is 34 points a game. It's not like it's a crazy high number off that.
Well, but so it's funny because I think the thing that we had with Joe that I think you're going to have with Jameis, and this is more my, all right, that was great. Now let's look at it going forward. I think he's going to have to actually even make more plays because the turnovers, like with Joe, yeah, there were a couple turnovers because like the postseason guys was pick sixes. That was just a bad day to have an awful day. If you look in the actual regular season with Joe.
That was an exact quote from J.W. Johnson, by the way.
You guys know.
It was a bad day to have a bad day. That's exactly what he said about the postseason appearance. That was it.
I'm the missing Haslam. People have been saying it. This whole time, I'm Cletus. Like, that's what people don't know.
Cletus Haslam?
I'm Cletus Haslam. Dude.
They give you less percentage of the will when your name is Cletus.
That is fine. It's still, that
your
percentage.
Your portion's large, but it's less than J-Dub.
Yeah, I can still live the rest of my life on drinking, boozing, and seducing my wife on Cletus Haslam.
J-W is so strong of a name. It's such a strong name.
It is.
Cletus
it is.
Is just...
Well, J.W. Johnson specifically.
Yeah.
That's...
It kind of has like a Howard Johnson, like a Hojo type thing going on to it too.
It comes with like a Warren Buffett stipend.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of name that cachet J.W. Johnson. Cletus is here for 3%. All right. And that's what I'm here for. That being said,
it's a bad day to have a bad day.
If you look at Joe Flacco in the regular season, outside of, I think, the Rams game, which is his first game, right? Outside of that game, when you really look at his interceptions, they weren't the come at the wrong time, come at the wrong moment, end of game interceptions. They were the totally understandable interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize the Kyle Hamilton interception is kind of the run-of-the-mill Jameis interception.
Okay. Because, yeah, Flacco had a lot of them where you're like, that was an arm punt.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's not Jameis. Jameis is going
to
have.
Jameis is right when you need a play. This is not going to happen and go to your direction.
Well,
okay.
And sometimes it's going to happen where it does happen. That's the whole rub of Jameis is you are 50% of the time you're going to get the big play you need.
Like the 3rd and 7.
It's 50% of the time the Kyle Hamilton interception will be caught by the other team. And I think that makes the need to overcome that with big plays. Like Joe didn't have as many those kind of interceptions, and Joe always made up for it with a big throw later in the game. With Jameis, you almost need to make more plays because the timing of his interceptions are going to be the ones that are super damning. The ones that aren't arm punts, they're the ones that are punts in the you-know-whats.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Bruce Arians. You got to risk it to get the biscuit, though. Like, that's his whole mentality.
Yeah.
And you saw it. You saw it work in spades on Sunday.
And he burnt Bruce Arians out on no risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Arians is like, I'm going to make him throw his...
Bruce is like, this has been my phrase for 30 years, and you're making me remove it now because it's just how this is going.
This is like the cliche of, I'm going to sit here and watch you smoke the whole pack, but by the end of it, you're like... All right, we're never doing that again. That didn't work for me or you. You clearly haven't learned. You now have a two-pack-a-day habit. But no, I mean, I think that's where I have trouble understanding the true ceiling of Jameis because of the timing of interceptions and the type of interceptions.
Listen, I know we care about it for this year, but if the larger conversation is the true ceiling for the offense at whole, we care more about what it is for these wide receivers than what we care about what it is for Jameis.
Yeah, long-term. There is still the midterm. There is still... How long of a leash do you have? So, for instance, if you have two Kyle Hamilton-esque interceptions on Sunday and you lose, fun might be gone. And I'm here. Listen, I understand the Jameis versus DTR thing. If somebody came along and offered you a second-round pick or a third-round pick for Jameis, I get business is business. But I'm here for, even if it doesn't lead to wins, give me more of Jameis because it is fun to watch, and I'm sick of not fun football.
Well, and I think you're here for the idea that he clearly did make the wide receivers better. Like, if that's what we want to see and we want to justify, and if you're Andrew Berry, by the way, don't you have to acknowledge the fact that Cedric Tillman went from being looked at as a bust to now we're looking at Cedric Tillman as a really competent NFL player and something that maybe you can grow with?
I think
Berry needs the wins as often as he can get them. Jameis just did that for you.
I think the problem is, I think when you're still 2-6, and there's still probably some dysfunction in that building. One win doesn't cure everything. It pauses things. You win 2 in a row, now all of a sudden things get cured. You win 3 in a row, now everybody is not just cured, but you're living the best life.
But you see how many Andrew Berry's decisions become all of a sudden gold when Jameis brings the best out of these wide receivers?
Yeah, but I think...
Giving Jerry Jeudy a bunch of money becomes a really good decision.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore becomes a good decision.
But I think the problem is...
Cedric Tillman becomes a good draft.
I still think you're at spinning your wheels in every direction. I still think that's where you are until you get that next win. And by the way, when I say that next win, I mean you have to win this weekend because of that.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you've checked or not, the Chargers have the number one scoring defense in the entire NFL.
Is that good or bad for the Browns?
That's not good for the Browns.
Okay.
They also have not allowed a team to score more than 20 points in a game.
Is that also good or bad?
It's not good for the Browns.
Okay, thank you.
Just want to make that clear.
You can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. The Morning Boys on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on 92.3 The Fan's Extra Channel on the free Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. So the question at hand here is, what is the ceiling of the Browns offense with Jameis? And did you see it on Sunday? I think I've made my point.
I agree with you. I think the ceiling was that. No interceptions, 3 touchdowns, 330 yards. So that's as good as we could ever ask for.
Does that mean it's not repeatable?
That's also a premier day. No, that doesn't mean it's not repeatable. It's repeatable. You can hit the ceiling multiple times. It's just going to be something that I don't know that we come to expect every week, even though now, what is it, 5 out of the last 6 games, a Browns quarterback not named Deshaun has thrown for 300 yards? Like, that did become the norm with Joe.
So with that, we will get back to the Browns offense.
It's powerful, by the way, calling him Joe and not Flacco.
That's how we do
it. Like, first name basis.
That's this show.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We call people, we're men. We talk like men, okay? When people think of this show, when people think of Nick and JP, they think of men.
Sure.
Okay.
Really sold that
That's not how you sell.
Really
no, you punctuate
one.
It with the softest shore in history.
Yeah.
If you had come through with a huevos grande,
yeah,
we would have punctuated it just fine.
And in between the break, I'll tell you how I installed my mailbox last
Your
weekend.
Frauds in the afternoons.
Real man.
The 4-0 Cavs. How sweet it is. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.